Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Sport Kite Podcast. I am your host, Nick O'Neill, and I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. Also, a big thank you to all of our fans and listeners that have kind of bared with me during this little bit of kind of upset in the recording. I'll get a little bit more into detail of why that happened here shortly. It's actually the topic of this episode. But I wanted to thank you, every one of our supporters that reached out, and all of the listeners that have been eagerly waiting for the next episode. You can find out more about sport kite flying in general at sportkite.org, or go to the Sport Kite Pilots Lounge or the Kite Hanger on Facebook. Both of those groups are great groups, and they're always posting information and sharing information from various organizations, from the various manufacturers, and all that. So go check them out. Really, really good groups to be members of. All right. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of why there has been some kind of shakeups in the publishing of the podcast during the season three, and just kind of what's going on in life. All right, so I'm gonna get real serious. I'm gonna get very emotional potentially, because this is very personal. So I have been in the kite industry on some level for about 15 years. My history going back was, I flew kites as a kid and all of this. You can hear some of that in my TED Talk. I talk about my first time flying kites. I'd say, it was probably 16, 17 years ago. I was over in the Middle East. I was stationed essentially over there for the military as a translator, and I was just having a really kind of rough emotional time. And I found myself somehow with a Prism Nexus, and I was flying a kite. And I was there on the beach in the United Arab Emirates, and it just like struck me as this incredibly beautiful moment. So fast forward a few years later, and I'm out of the service, and I'm now living in Boulder, Colorado, and there is a really awesome kite store there, Into the Wind. And I go in and I buy a kite, and I meet some of the guys that work there, and I meet some of the local kite flyers. And within like a month, I hear about this event, the South Padre Island Kite Festival. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to that. So I go down to it. I learn how to fly a quadline kite. I get picked up by HQ Power Kites to be a sponsored flyer. It just like, it goes full bore. And I jumped in head over heels. And I did so because this community just welcomed me with big open arms. Very loving and very accepting. And it was something that I really needed, especially that time in my life. And, you know, I look back on it, and now with hindsight and therapy and all this other good stuff, I see that it was really helping me deal with some general disillusionment and PTSD that I was processing. So it was, you know, I love the kite community. I really did. And I hopped in. I kind of went full in. I wanted to learn about all sorts of kites. I was doing the power kite circuit, the snow kite circuit. And then I was, you know, really interested in sport kites. And then I saw indoor flying. And I was like, oh my God, this is all amazing. And and through that, I was hopping into positions of volunteer and leadership and all this other stuff, because I wanted to help out the community that was giving me so much love. So fast forward to now, right? So now I'm feeling some of the same feelings that I kind of felt at the beginning, but I was able to fully immerse myself then, and right now it's really difficult to fully immerse myself and kind of counter those feelings. So one thing I noticed about sport kite flying right off the bat is that it's a very lonely and solo endeavor. You have to make tremendous effort to get out and fly with others, to be around others, to have others inspire you. And it's almost a whole job in itself just to seek that motivation and validation and that training and that support. Because yeah, it's a very, very solo endeavor. And here recently, I've been feeling that as well, in a slightly different aspect because of where I am in my life now. It also feels very, very lonely. And do understand, I have good friends that are kite flyers, and I get to see them a handful of times a year. And heck, you know, my partner living in my house is a kite flyer. But we realistically don't spend a lot of time flying kites, just because, you know, life. So yeah, I've been kind of mulling over, like, why are things feeling really, really lonely again, in why I'm not getting kind of the feedback that I need. And yeah, so go to WISCIF, and I was really, really hoping to get super inspired and to do a bunch of podcast recordings and talk to a bunch of people and all of this and really fill my cup. And I didn't. I didn't do any of that. It was kind of a strange feeling to realize, like, I really did not record a single episode. I did talk with other people. I talked with some other folks that have been in the kite industry or the kite community for a long time and shared, you know, these feelings of I don't want to call it loneliness because here I am talking to friends, but just kind of this one-sided love of kites. You know, I'm not getting a lot of love back. Kites don't love me back. I love them type of thing. I know I don't have the best words for it. So, hopefully this resonates or makes sense, but I shared these thoughts with a handful of my friends there on the kite field, and most of them could either empathize or they somewhat understood where I was coming from because they too have gone through these moments of just wanting to pull back and kind of questioning their love and all of these other things and trying to find that motivation again to really get out there and do the thing. So for those of you that know me personally and have had interactions with me, I'm not very, very good about letting something be wrong and just letting it stay that way. I have to come up with a plan. I like to come up with ideas to, you know, fix it, or I really like to do deep dive so I can better understand why things are there. So I've been doing that regarding this feeling. And the direct comparison I have is with a sport that I play. I've mentioned a few times on here. And that's roller derby. And in roller derby, I've been playing that for 11 years. So almost comparatively the same time I've been fully invested. And what roller derby gives me that I'm not quite getting in kites is not only a team that is consistently meeting and doing the stuff together. So therein, I'm not alone. I have other people that are relying on me to be there. They're pushing me. They're encouraging me. They're motivating me, or they're even inspiring me. And, you know, I can't shy away from that. It's there and I can't step away, right? So it's kind of in my face all the time. I don't actively have to look for it. And the second part of that is feedback. And I really want to be very clear here that when I'm saying I'm not getting feedback, or the amount of feedback that I'm looking for, or the type of feedback that I want, it's not necessarily direct feedback. So direct feedback would be, you know, I go out, I do a sport kite demo, and people come up and go, "Oh my God, that's amazing." Yeah, that's good feedback. And if I ever do a sport kite demo, I would love to hear that, you know, and I love talking with people and I love getting critiques and, you know, people being like, oh, that was good, but you kind of messed up on this trick. Like, that's awesome. I love getting that kind of feedback. But the feedback I'm talking about more is a little bit deeper and more well-rounded. It's, so to use Derby as the example, I'm a coach. And one of my skaters ended up doing something completely outside of their comfort zone, but they relied on their training and that helped them through it. And they were so amazed by that. And just hearing that story and knowing that I was a small part of that, that was the very positive feedback I needed. And I'm not sure how to make that happen in sport kites. I'm not sure how to make that happen in kites in general. It's something that I've been pushing really hard at. I've dedicated a lot of my life to it. It is very much a solo endeavor, because I'm not part of a team. I have to do a lot of work of actively reaching out to other people and talking to other people. I have to do a lot of work to actively stay visible and on the field and all of this. And I'm not getting that kind of the reciprocity. That's why the podcast episodes kind of got paused for a bit. And for that, I do apologize. Because I really enjoy doing these podcast episodes. And I really, really enjoy sharing the love of kites and sport kites and kite flying. And I really do love when listeners have reached out to me and been like, hey, I heard this on a podcast episode. Or even when they've reached out to some of the guys that have been here on either the round table or that I did interviews with, and they've reached out to them and said, hey, you know, I heard that episode where you talked about this and this. I've got a few questions. So, you know, even just me saying this, I realize that that is literally the type of feedback that I'm looking for. So I should be grateful for it. So I have a bit more of a deep dive to do here and figure this out. But all right. So as a solo kite flyer, though, what are some other things I can do to kind of not feel as lonely out there? And, you know, I look to folks like John Barresi, who has, you know, he lives, breathes, shits, and dies by his quad line kites and dual line, respectively. But, you know, everyone knows him for his quad line flying. And he has to spend a lot of time manifesting that community around him and building it and growing it and feeding it and sustaining it. And I believe it's feeding back to him at this point. You know, he's kind of an old hat at this. He knows what he's doing. But he's really been pushing the team mindsets and watching these teams out there flourish and be able to work with one another. You know, and watching his migration through, or his evolution through various teams that I've known him to be on, or various iterations of teams that I've known him to be on while I've known him. It's been interesting, and I think that highlights maybe what I need, is I need a team. I need a team of people that I can routinely fly with, that I can routinely check in with, that can push me, that can, you know, that I can push them, that we can inspire each other, that we can hold each other accountable when we don't want to do the thing that we want to do. I'm looking to see how I can slot that into my life and make that more practical. There are some changes happening in our household, which will hopefully make that more of a realistic vision in the coming year. So keeping my fingers crossed. And yeah, so this again was just kind of a shorter episode. I wanted to get a little bit personal and share my personal journey, because after my conversations on the beach at Wiscaf, I very much realized that this is a common theme for a lot of sport kite flyers. We've either all gone through this, or we're going to go through this, or we recognize this. So I want to say, you know, you're not alone. When you're feeling lonely, you're not alone. There is a community out there, and I'm committed to trying to make it less lonely for you, because I need it less lonely for me. So, all right. With that being said, I do promise there's some good episodes coming up. I took a lot of notes. I got a lot of suggestions for episodes to talk about, and yeah, I'm gonna work on that this weekend. So, much love to all of you beautiful sport kite flyers out there, and I hope to see you on the kite field soon. All right, bye.